Hello, my name is Alan. My pronouns are he, him. And this evening, in my time at least, I'm facilitating the first of a four session series of my PBTA game in Endless Development, Jotun Weird, which has been organised as part of the Open Hearth Gaming Community's monthly calendar. If you don't know about the Open Hearth, then please do search Open Hearth Gaming Community and come find out about us, come join us. We are playing within that community's code of conduct, which I sometimes rather, tongue in cheek describe as don't be a dick, but that's very rarely a problem with the community that we have. We are playing with some safety tools because this is a game that is intended to be a bit on the dark side. Looking at the way the lines and veils and interested have gone, it could be a lot on the dark side. It's set at a time in about halfway through the 6th century, so we're talking about 550 CE, 200 years after the Romans left Britannia, but 200 years before the Age of Vikings. But programs like The Last Kingdom and Vikings on the TV would give you some feel for the kind of physical environment. So intended to be quite gritty, intended to be vaguely historical. This is not high fantasy, this is low fantasy. In which a group of special people, the Jotunweird, the guardians against the monsters, are going to face some more monsters, we hope, and hopefully win out. They have been given gifts by their patrons, everything from a fey crown to the Christ God to Woden the Allfather. They have been commissioned by those patrons to protect the innocent from a growing darkness across the land. Because the game could end up dealing with some adult themes, we are going to play with some layered safety tools. So we're playing with lines and veils, and I will just check in. So we have lines on PvP, because it's not that kind of game. We have lines on sexual assault and violence, the death of children, homophobia, transphobia, racism, misogyny, torture by the PCs because they're heroes, domestic violence, betrayal, or violent conflict between PCs because they are on the same side. So those are lines that I will go into some detail because I've not played with everybody around the table today. Those lines are things that they won't crop up in the fiction. If we sail close to that, let's warn one another off. There are also veils. Veils could appear in the fiction, but we will fade to black, draw a curtain, whatever. And currently we have veils on endangerment of children, torture by NPCs, consensual sex, domestic animal abuse, peril to pregnant women and infants, and eyeballs. So those are things that if they look like they're cropping up, we will draw a comforting veil and not have them on screen. Then we don't really ask for it. We have some interested in. People seem to be interested in infection or plague as a major plot point. Slavery, gore, bugs, rats, spiders, and cannibalism. That's why I said the layered lines and veils are there. So there is some interest in that. Whether we can cram all of that in to four sessions remains to be seen, but you never know your luck. The players will get a chance to shape the way that our narrative goes, so they may lean into those things. We're also playing with the X card. For me, the best way to play the X card is to show it to me, because I tend to look at the faces of the players rather than the chat, but put it in the chat. If somebody notices it in the chat, then draw my attention to it. The X card is there because lines and veils can't cover all the possibilities. The way I play the X card is that if that comes up, we'll stop the narrative, and I will go back in time and play round whatever it is that someone played the X card for. And I would stress a couple of things. One, if you don't play the X card the first time something crops up, that doesn't mean you can't play it if it crops up again. I've been in games where I thought I'm okay with that, and then it comes up again, and I think, am I? And then the third time, I think, no, actually, I'm not. Just because you didn't play it the first time doesn't mean you can't play it when it makes you uncomfortable. That's what it's there for. And equally, the example I usually cite is I've had someone play an X card on the name of an NPC, because I named an NPC unknowingly after I think it was a brother-in-law, And then that NPC began to do some bad things, and they said, actually, could we change their name? So, nothing is trivial in terms of the X card. If it crops up and you're uncomfortable with, let's stop and change stuff. I won't ask you why that's led to an X card, but we'll avoid that material. And the X card is also, I think, a useful tool if you think we're getting close to a line. And you just want to kind of just pause for a moment and say, this sounds a bit like we're heading down this route. And then that we can clarify and steer away from it. We've also got a kind of romance grid. So I know where people stand in terms of romance with other players, NPCs, or whether they're not particularly interested in that. That's fine by me. So that's the context for the game. In a moment, we'll introduce the player characters, but for the moment, first of all, let's introduce our players. So, in the reverse order that I can see you in, Paul, I'll start with you. Say hello, tell us your pronouns, and tell us anything else you want us to tell us about your gaming life.
Hello, my name's Paul, he, him. I have played Jotun Weird a few times. The character I'll be playing this time is the Sword of God, which is a playbook I've never played before, I don't think. And I'm playing a female character called Black Seren.
Fine. If you can add Black Seren to your Zoom window name, Paul, that would be helpful to me, because then I'll begin to lock that name in. Thank you. Daniel, say hello. Tell us about your pronouns and anything about your gaming life and what's the name of your character. Don't need much more than that at this point.
Hi, I'm Daniel. My pronouns are he, him, and I haven't been gaming much lately, so I'm really looking forward to this. And I am playing a fae character whose name is Dawn, and whose pronouns are he, him.
That's fine for now. Thank you. Matt, say hello. Tell us your pronouns. Tell us anything you like about your gaming life. And just introduce your character in terms of name and gender, name and pronouns.
Hello, my name's Matt. I use they, them, or any pronouns. I've been gaming quite a bit. It's the spring of games, and I welcome it. I'm excited to give this a go, explore the history of my people a little bit through a fantasy little flavor. I'm still cooking on a character name, if I'm honest. I'm
Okay.
browsing portraits and things, and I'm usually a bit slow to character creation. It helps to have things flow in, and so I'll
Shape the
report
character on the
back.
hoof. That's fine. That's fine. Casey, say hello. Tell us about your pronouns. Anything you want to tell us about your gaming life and name and pronouns of your character if you've settled?
Hey everybody, I'm Casey. I use he, him pronouns. I've been around the open hearth for like just about a year now, I think, and it's all been awesome. Kudos to Alan for putting this game on for like me and Matt had expressed interest in the Slack. So like that's whatever. I'll always talk about the awesome parts of the community, and that's an awesome part of the community to me, where people organize games specifically for people to play them. Is I don't know, just awesome. Thank you, Alan. I'll be playing the Hunter playbook. I've named them Althea, and they will use they, them pronouns.
Okay. No, I mean, it one of the nice things about the community is that we've got a very lively Slack and a Discord for that matter, though I spend more time on the Slack. And that Slack offers people a chance to talk about the games they're playing, they have played, or they want to play. And we try as a community to meet the demand. So I hope that neither Matt nor Casey end up in 4 weeks' time really disappointed. That is our group. We're going to be together for 3 or 4 weeks. And what I want to do now is really begin to run round the rest of the character creation, really. So what I want you to do is if you have a look at the setting tab, guys, I've called up the hunter, the Celtic mystic, the sword of God, and the fae, and there are some questions related to that that I want to. whether we will visit any of these places, but it's a bit what like Matt was describing. It's meant to give you a moment to think about their past, really, and to help shape them as characters. So I think I will go. I've been left to right, right to left. I'm going to go right to left. I'm going to start with our Fae Dawn, Daniel. Your Fae Crown's principal place of power. Now, on that tab is a map of the old north of Britannia. And there are those different coloured blocks are the different kingdoms. And in terms of your Fae Crown's principal place of power, I just need you to pick a kingdom, really. Bernicia, Deira, and Lindsay are Saxon kingdoms. Gododdin, Reged, Gwynedd, and Elmet are Celtic Christian nations. Oh, sorry, Mercia is Saxon as well. And then you'll see between those, you can see there's a string of mountains. The Pennines are occupied by some hill tribes where typically the old gods of Britain are still worshipped, as are they in the Great Marsh. Down towards the southeast of our map, where the Marsh tribes may be found. So, really, all I need from you as the Fae, Daniel, is which kingdom or which place do you, where on the map do you want this place of power to be?
I think I'm going to pick the hill tribes because
Fine.
it's from the old gods. Yeah.
Fine. So, if you just put in that box where it says settlement and kingdom, just
Yes.
put the hill tribes in, thank you. Our sword of God, the chantry where your order trained you, Black Seren. Likely to be a Christian rather than Saxon kingdom, I think.
Helmet.
Elmet, fine. We'll worry about a name for that settlement if we need it. For now, let's just bang in settlement. Oh, the one above, settlement and kingdom. Yeah. Our Celtic mystic. The place of power where you were apprenticed. And again, unlikely to be a Saxon kingdom, but not impossible. You know, the old gods of Britain are a fringe religion, if you will. So they could crop up anywhere. Any preference as to where you'd like to place this place of power?
I'd like for it to be somewhere covert and maybe at conflict. So it could even be a Saxon kingdom or maybe somewhere close to Elmet, just for interest's sake.
Yeah.
And so maybe Deira, or do you want to suggest something
Well,
for?
Deira would be a Saxon kingdom, so it would be you know, you'd certainly be off the edge of the Woden scale there. In Gwynedd, which is a Celtic British kingdom, you would be burned.
Let's go middle ground, because you said Marsh tribes and like the southeast are a little more pagan, is that
They
right?
are very pagan, yes. The
So
old gods hang on there and in the hills.
let's do Deira just on the other side of the Marsh tribes. Maybe something's
Fine.
still hanging on around there.
Fine. So if you fill in Deira up there in that slot on the setting tab, I'd be grateful. And finally, our Saxon hunter, likely to be Bernicia, Deira, or Mercia, or Lindsay.
Lindsay seems right. Yeah.
Okay, surrounded as it is
I like
mostly
my.
by marsh. Fine, put
Yeah, I like
Lindsay up
that.
there.
Yeah.
And this is the place where your hunting beast chose you. Yeah. I'll go back round to give you a chance to finish putting that in. So back to Dawn, our Fae. How is this place of power contained, lest it run wild across the land?
I'm thinking maybe it is hidden in a way, or the path for it to spread is hidden, something in
So,
that vein.
okay, so the route to it or the path to this place is hidden, or
Yes.
okay, fine. Go
Yes.
ahead, go ahead. The chantry in Elmet where you were trained, Seren, which sacred item was protected by the order there?
The Lance of Longinus.
Oh, really? Of course, the Lance of Longinus is going to be there. Why go small when you can go that large? Fine, okay. So you can put that in there. Our Celtic mystic, the place of power is in Deira. What identifies it as a place of power? You know, we're talking stone circles here. Whatever, holy groves. What have you got in mind, Matt, when you conjure up this place for us?
I think that I'm thinking an underground pool that is located within a copse of rowan trees, maybe. So for some protective quality. And I think that underground inscribed all through the walls are runic symbols, bind runes, like just a record of magical power that's gone back. A long time.
And is it are those wards what contain the power?
I think it's more the trees, but maybe the runes and wards like infuse the trees with more power.
Now,
And yeah,
yeah.
it's also a place of just study and remembering.
If you want to put, a sentence or so in, or some phrases that capture some of that, that would be great.
Yeah.
Finally, our hunter. What was most significant about the place where you and your. We didn't pin down what your hunting beast is, did we? We talking dog, wolf, hawk?
Yeah, I think Fox feels right.
Okay. So we know that the place where your hunting beast chose you was in Lindsay, but what was most significant about the place where she or he?
She.
Chose you. What just maybe distinguishing feature, something that would be recognizable? Because it has to be more than just, a patch of woodland.
Sure, right. Yeah, maybe it was somewhere on the edge where like the marsh is creeping in, and there was like what's like when a fire like sweeps through a swamp area, and like the swamp is kind of all untouched, but the trees are all like skeletons, they're just kind of like burnt husks.
Okay, I skeletal burnt husks. Pick a phrase that or phrases that you like. Then back round to our fae. What risk do you believe this power represents to mortals?
Well, I don't know how to put it, but I'm thinking some kind of a corruption or maybe a disease. If mortals take this power, then they would not be able to withstand it. Their bodies or souls would not be able to use it for so long. So they would, I don't know. We'll find out how, I think, but I presume. But
Fine.
yeah, corruption is the word, I think.
Fine. Let's put that in. And that leaves corruption comes in a number of different shapes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Paul, Seren, the Sword of God. Who was your mentor and what was their greatest flaw?
I'm going to go for Jonas Clover. What was his greatest flaw? Let's go for incredibly poor battle luck.
Bad luck. Okay.
Just poor luck.
Poor luck, yeah. Our Celtic mystic, who were you apprenticed to and what was their greatest flaw? We can come to names later if you want to kind of mull over the name of your mentor, Matt.
Okay, I'll do a little mulling.
It's their greatest flaw at this point that I think we would want to pin down.
Yes. Let's say, vengeance. I think they're very curious, like me, but their curiosity was turned towards learning as much as they could. If they had a move, it would be the curse move. They were more interested in doing harm to those who had wronged them and
Right.
made them hide underground, probably.
So vengeful, sounds right.
In a word, it's
Oh,
vengeful.
whoa, wow, right, okay. Our hunter, who has always envied the bond that you share with your hawk? I am going to ask you to name that hawk in a bit.
Sure.
But for the moment, it's just her, she, the hawk. Who is always envied? Now, we can come up with a name later, but I guess I'm interested in what is this person? You know, another hunter, some local lord or lady, or something else?
Yeah, I think I feel like a sibling is a good answer. So maybe my sister.
Your sister. Fine. That, yeah, sibling rivalry, never a bad thing to have a game, having a game. A background to Dawn the Fae. This is a question all of you are going to have to answer, so you want to give it some thought. How did you receive or become aware of your gift? Now, all Fae have certain magical abilities, like glamour, but you chose a gift during character generation.
Understanding.
Where, how did you become aware of it, or under what circumstances did you receive that from your Fae crown? Because that's unique to you.
I think maybe it's a simple answer, but I think I was born with it. So, yeah, I
So
was given it, yeah.
if you were born with it, how did you become aware that it was unusual among your kind?
I think I became aware of it, but when I had some kind of an urge to use it, it was instinctive. And also, I was given the question about to find the purpose of having this gift, which I don't know the answer to yet.
That's interesting because the kind of shorthand pitch for the Fae is watching mortals for centuries has taught me to love them after my fashion. Perhaps that's why I protect them, those I judge worthy. And I suppose there's something in that about wanting to understand mortals, maybe. You
Yeah,
know.
I guess so, yeah.
But yeah, if you put something in as an aid memoir to yourself as much as me, that would be helpful. Our Sword of God, Seren, how did you receive or become aware of your gift? Because again, while the Order trains many people, or more people than just you, how did you receive or become aware of your gift? And I think you chose the Pain's Balm, didn't you?
Yes, so I've gone for my sister. Sarah was left near dead after an attack on our village by Celts, and I placed my hands upon her body and she was healed.
Fine, fine. What about our Celtic mystic? I mean, apprenticed perhaps with a small group of others to learn the old ways, but not everyone is gifted. And I think I'm just going to check you. Yeah, your miracles and wonders. So not everyone leaves that apprenticeship with miracles and wonders. So how did you receive or become aware of miracles and wonders?
I think that I left my home after I lost maybe my husband in my 40s or something to sort of find a new, and something to hold on to, something to kind of carry me into the next stage of my life. And I think I stumbled upon this place. Maybe I was looking for healing. Maybe I heard rumors of somewhere I could go for this. And I think that they were all reluctant to let me in, or it's much more of a secretive affair. But once I was in the shrine, I think I had a conversation with the walls, with the words on the walls. And so, because I could hear whispers, they twigged onto something. And let's leave it there for now.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Put a little bit in there that that as an aid memoir to you and me. And what about our hunter, Althea? Althea, how did you receive or become aware of your gift? Your gift of, as I remember, actually as I look up, true path.
Yeah, I think must have been when I acquired the hawk. The hawk showed me the way out, or like I must have like I want to say I was lost or something, right? In uncertain territory, and the hawk came to me and showed me the true path, the way I needed to go.
Brilliant.
And yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, I like that. Then back round, how now, you one of you would be counted a monster by most, law-abiding villagers, i.e. the Fae. Certainly dangerous. That's why you wear a mortal seeming. We've got a Christian, a pagan Briton, and a Saxon believer in Woden the Allfather. Yet all of you have been brought together. And the question, how did you come to understand your shared destiny with the others? Was this a sign, a portent? Did your patron appear to you? Did they, over to you, yeah? So, Dawn, if I start with you, how did you come to believe that these people were the ones that you should travel with to protect these innocent mortals that you've become fascinated by?
I already put that I felt that they are the ones to teach me the essence of life and death.
Because mortals know about that in a way that you really don't.
Yeah, that's what I
And
had in
until
mind,
you
yeah.
do, and then it's quite serious. Saren, God smiles on both. Oh, sorry, no, you tell me. Why, how did you come to
Well, God
understand that?
smiles on both the believer and the unbeliever, and he needs all to fight the coming darkness. And God has spoken to me that this misfit band are the best ones, are the ones best placed to defeat evil.
Well, and God wouldn't lie to you, would he?
Of course not.
Okay. What about our Celtic mystic? What are we thinking in terms of how did you come to believe that it was your destiny that this motley band would be the people you would share your destiny with?
I think that in my previous life, I was a good Christian. I think that maybe one of my ancestors worshipped the Allfather. And after learning from Cadfael, my vengeful mentor, I almost out of spite or petulance, I had grown so tired of his rhetoric, that it made me want to seek other kinds of people. So I'm trying to see with eyes unclouded by hate.
Oh, that's a very nice phrase that needs to be written down somewhere.
I stole it.
And what about Althea, our hunter? How did you come to understand you shared your shared destiny with the others?
I think maybe there was maybe Althea had some misgivings about the coming darkness and the reality of what that is. But then seeing it for real and seeing the way in which these other individuals handled it convinced them that not only is the threat real, but the ability to resist it is more importantly real.
Okay, so you saw these three confront the darkness somehow.
Yeah.
Okay. So something along that lines would be helpful. Brilliant. Okay, that gives us a sense of our people. We will now take a break. 10 minutes for the first one, is that okay? Back in our seats at 12 minutes past, and when we come back, we will create our first example of the darkness in place. See you in 10.
Just quick,
Oh.
just like I just wanted
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, like, you had mentioned, like, the romance matrix or whatever. That's just my preferences or whatever, or like just my like expectations. Like, you don't have to try to shoehorn anything in for me. I just like to put that there so everyone's like on the same page with what I think, whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, I just wanted to point
Enough
that out or
said.
whatever.
Enough said.
Yeah. I
Okay.
also might have to, like, my dad texted me about getting a ride. So, if he gets, but didn't tell him where or when. Like, helpful. So if he gets back to me, I might have to dip a little bit early today, but
Don't worry, don't worry.
I'll
The
keep you posted.
I should have said we're playing with the open door. You know, the open door is there to be used. Don't, no pressure. So what I want to do now is I want to create the settlement where your patrons have guided you. Yeah. You have no secrets from one another, so everybody knows that Dawn is not entirely as he seems. Whatever of the background that we've already shared, all of that is in place. But now I need you to have a look at settlement number one. Now, settlement number one, we are going to create this together. The way this game works is that I will ask you some questions that will shape this settlement, and begin to offer some themes around the darkness under which it suffers. So, if there's something on that. On that lines and veils tab that you're interested in, this is a chance to begin to not kind of paint it in big letters, but begin to think about how you can hint at the nature of this. And the questions around this settlement are on the arriving tab. So I'm going to start there. The first move on arriving is signs and portents. When the heroes first come in sight of a settlement, so, there's that opening scene where you're coming up over a slight rise and we will see the settlement below. And I'm going to say this settlement is in Bernicia because I want it to be somewhere where none of you have a connection yet. So it's going to be in Bernicia. I will name it, and I think it's a Saxon village called, let's call it, Torhaven. I name it, give the players the opportunity to begin to shape the theme of the darkness in this place, the reason for their heroes' supernatural patrons to have guided them here. The fates will prompt each hero to say something about the settlement. And the kinds of options I'm interested in here is describe something unusual, concerning, or suspicious you can see from a distance. So, is there something when we first see this village that hints at the darkness under which shadow it lies? Or refer to an emotion or memory the sight of the settlement prompts in your character? Or be more allegorical, referring to a recent dream, vision, or premonition that suddenly seems relevant, or say something even more flavorful? Yeah? So, I'm not going to start with Paul this time because he's done this quite a bit, so I want to open the box on this. So going clockwise in the order I can see you, Matt, when we first see our heroes come over the hill and look down on this Saxon settlement, what do we see that is suspicious or unusual or hints of the darkness, or what do you feel, or what vision? Premonition, whatever else does this trigger in you?
I think that tapping into our interest in vermin and hordes of creatures. I think we see flocks of crows flying about the city, and there is a falcon that's stooping and diving and hunting them. But the crows are, we can see the crows outsmart the falcon and turn on it and bring it to the ground, like out of its dive. And the crows move in like murmurations, and it's easy to see pictures in them as one would staring up at the clouds.
Oh, very nice. Good to go with crows. Ravens always a bit iffy given Woden's interest in them, but crows are great. The corpse bird. Let us go next to our Fae Dawn. Dawn, what do we see? What premonitions, what feelings does this evoke? Take your pick.
I think there is, when we approach the settlement, there is some kind of a sticky stuff on the path on the road. It sticks to our feet and boots, and when we look it up, it seems like there are some kind of very low hanging spider webs, because it's like when we take our feet up, it's just like stretches like spider webs.
Okay, so I've got crows mobbing a falcon and murmurations. Dot dot dot. I've got spider webs. Dot dot dot. Casey, what does Althea feel or see or remember that is? That begins to signal why Woden would have sent you here.
Yeah, I think before Althea like started to believe actually in the darkness and all of the terrible encroaching future, something like this happened in their village, and maybe that's what forced them out originally, or like maybe their village slowly died, and or you know slowly fell apart, became sort of like a diaspora situation, and that's what kind of put them on the road to where they are now. So I think there's some feelings of like apprehension and fear, but also like loneliness and like longing for the past, that sort of like homesickness for a place that might not exist anymore.
Fine. So what I've done is aid my memory of the slow death of Althea's village. Yeah. We can build on that. And finally, Black Seren, what does this prompt? Why have you been guided? Why has the Christ God been in favor of you arriving here, do you think? What signal do we get in terms of the theme the darkness takes?
I think Black Seren had a recent dream of three girls chained in an underground room with lots of spiders' webs in the room, and that's what prompts my, after noticing the spiders' webs on the floor, I certainly think this could be the place.
Okay, so three girls and spider webs, dot dot dot. Okay, so we're looking to build on those kind of themes here, yeah? As we develop the fiction. So that's quite an interesting and rich combination of things. We're now going to create a supporting cast. Each of you is going to create a significant person at this settlement. I've named it as Torhaven, haven't I? So I'm looking for four significant people, and that is If you look at settlement number one, you will find, which I will relabel as Torhaven, so I don't forget the name. You will notice that there are a number of descriptors of people, and then there are a number of roles. Now, the role is either in the village proper, because this is a village of, maybe 100 people. This is not some vast metropolis. There is a Lord's Hall, or maybe a Lady's Hall, and there are some roles associated with that. There are other roles associated with the common people, the lower status people in the village. I'm going to ask each of you to pick a descriptor and a role to create this person. And then I'm going to ask you to tell me, as the camera zooms in on this settlement, what do we see that person doing that might hint in some way at their role or character? Yeah? So Paul has done this before, so I'm going to go to him first this time. So Paul, as the camera pans from the murmurations and looking down at these webs and the concern that Althea has about this is far too reminiscent of previous events, the camera pans down and zooms in on a settlement and finds someone. Who does it find? Paul, what is their descriptor and role?
I mean, there's random tables there,
There
so
are, you can roll
let's
some dice
pull
if you
you
want to.
some. I rolled a one and a four. So we've got a bitter.
Or 4-1 loyal. Take your pick.
Let's go with bitter.
Okay. So we've got somebody who's bitter. Village or hall. And again, there is a random if you want it.
You want me to go again?
Yeah, let's finish the.
One and one.
Ooh.
So a bitter spouse.
Oh dear, a bitter spouse. That doesn't bode well, does it? So we have a bitter spouse. If you would put them in one of those little slots on the
Yeah,
hall, in the
sure.
hall kind of schematic, that'd be helpful. Let me go next to Casey. Casey, you can choose or you can roll. You can't have the same one. So the spouse is taken and bitter is taken.
Oh, interesting.
These are, just to clarify, these are the significant NPCs. These are the people who are going to have speaking parts. They are the supporting cast.
You say it's Saxon.
It's Saxon.
Well, I trusted the dice and it came up with cowardly herder.
Cowardly herder. Okay, cowardly and herder. So that is in the village. So I'm going to put cowardly herder. And down on row 33, 34, there's a way to come up with a random low status Saxon name if you want it. Lower Saxon, roll two dice, and it will give you a male or it becomes female if you just add a U or an R on A on the end. So next, Daniel, which character do you want to encounter down here? Which significant person do you want to encounter?
Okay, I'm also gonna roll,
Okay.
so we'll see.
I mean,
I'll
having the
roll.
table there is an incitement.
Okay, so I rolled a one and a six for the first one. That means that's burly, and
Or
a two
thoughtful,
and.
six and one, just to be clear, you could switch them around. You don't have to stick with Burley. You've always got a choice with two
Okay.
dice.
Maybe I'll go with thoughtful,
Okay.
and then two and a one. I'll just
Spouse.
switch. Yeah, I'll switch it up. I'll say, yeah, one and two is air.
Ooh.
So a thoughtful air.
Oh, a thoughtful heir. Well, well, well. I can't spell either thoughtful or hair, so if you could correct that for me, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
Sure.
And finally, Matt, Do you want to roll the dice, or do you want to pick a villager, or pick somebody else in the hall?
I had actually rolled up dangerous air, so let's stick with dangerous.
Okay.
And maybe champion?
Ooh, fine. So, dangerous
I
champion.
want a potent character for this one.
Okay, so there's a dangerous champion. Now, I need a name for each of these, and I need some pronouns. You will find down there on rows 35, 36, and downwards, a column for Saxon names. High status names tend to have two bits, so you'd roll if or choose from the first column, and then females have certain female suffixes and males have certain male suffixes. There are more male than female simply because they crop up in the history and myths more often. So it's more difficult to find female names. Surprise,
Alan,
surprise.
yeah,
Yeah.
surprise, surprise. Would you tell me what champion means to you in this setting and time?
Okay. This is someone who wields the Lord's sword on their behalf. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have we decided we've got a she, her spouse, so I'm gonna stick with a traditional lord, I think, then in our first session. 6-3. What does that give me as a name? Gund or 3-6 Frith. Gund. 5-5. Then 5-5. What does it give me? 5-5 gives me here or wine. Gundir. Lord Gundir. And yeah, if everybody else is rolling, why shouldn't I? 4-6 or 6-4? 4-6 is naive. 6-4 is vicious. I think we've got a bitter spouse, so I think I will go with a naive lord. Naive Lord Gundhir. Maybe that's why Garhilda is bitter. Maybe that's why Beodred is thoughtful. I don't know. We'll have a name for our dangerous champion in a bit. I wonder what makes our champion so dangerous and who too. So these
Roska.
Wolfgar. Okay. If you want to name him in the settlement, that will be handy. Sorry, there he is. Sorry, I've got him. Hrothgar, the dangerous champion. Hrothgar, yeah. I mean, it's all very Beowulf. I'm going to go back to each of them in turn, and I want you to tell me something about what we see that might display their role and or their character. So let me start with Garhilda, the bitter spouse. Paul, as the camera finds Garhilda, what do we see her doing that might hint anything of her character, or maybe just her role?
That's very good. Let me think about that. Why is she bitter? What's obvious about her bitterness? She is kept at the side of the hall. She's not sat next to her husband.
Oh, right. So she's distanced from the seat of judgment and power. Okay. What about the thoughtful heir? Is Beardred the thoughtful heir also in that scene in the hall? And if so, what are they doing?
I think no. I think he is walking around the village and inspecting the village and also acting very friendly with the villagers, with the lower status people. He wants to be seen, as a man of the people. So he's
Okay.
like just walking and checking out if everything is okay in the village.
That might be then a segue into Tar, the Cowardly Herder. Is there anything about the approach of the air that might give us a clue into Tar's character or role, Casey?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I don't know. Does anything else, like anybody have anything to jump on? My mind kind of just went blank as soon as you said my name.
Yeah, happens to me all the time.
Rothilda is a dangerous champion, so if you're looking to be scared of anything or
He would be a
yeah, I was
good
thinking
person.
maybe sure. Maybe it's separate. Maybe it's Tar seeing the same thing we saw from the hillside, right? Maybe it's like the crows and the falcon and being like, oh no, this is terrible, this is awful, and like the cowardice kicking in there, maybe bringing in his flock, like into an like closer to the settlement or whatever, that sort of thing, and like maybe not necessarily hiding, but maybe petting them up closer and then going up into the village to like seek for some help or someone to talk cowardly ass
Did
to.
anybody else see that?
Yeah.
Then what about Hrothilda, the dangerous champion? What do we how do we know that Hrothilda is dangerous, or an implication of how she is dangerous?
I think we see her sharpening a sword, a very well-tended, beautiful sword inscribed with a verse, and I think this what she's using to sharpen it with it where she's holding it is a cross. It's got a cross handhold. So I think we see that her faith and her weapon are very intertwined, and this seems like a peaceful place.
Okay.
So
Then that gives us some starting flavor for our characters. The camera will pan back to you as you now notice two nearby places of interest. And you will see that there is a descriptor in a place. So I'll go back the other way this time. So, Matt, do you want a descriptor for this first place we're going to see, or do you want to define the kind of place it is?
now this is,
This
can
is,
you repeat the place?
yeah, so there are, if you go along from significant people, there's nearby places of interest. So there's
Ah,
one
yes.
column of descriptor, one column of the nature of the place.
Gotcha, gotcha,
So
gotcha.
do you want to go with descriptor or place?
Let's go with unstable as a descriptor.
An unstable. Okay, Daniel, what is unstable? Which place is unstable?
A lot of these places can be unstable. Maybe maybe some kind of maybe an unstable sacred place for whatever that could mean.
Okay, we can get into the description of what that, but there is some kind of sacred place that the camera has captured that looks unstable. Casey, do you want to go with place or descriptor for our second location?
Let's go with a descriptor,
Go ahead.
and I'll go with overgrown.
Overgrown. Okay. What is overgrown, Paul?
A set of Roman ruins.
Overgrown Roman ruins. Okay. Okay, so these are two interesting places nearby. We'll worry about the nature of the Roman ruin later on. So, this is our cast, this is our location. The question now becomes, next move, the shadows manifest. When the heroes reach the settlement, the fates will ask them to continue to build on the developing fiction and agree where the inciting incident. There's going to be an inciting incident as you approach it. Pick one. Is it going to be at or just outside the settlement's boundary, within the boundary, somewhere in the village, or in the great hall while the heroes are offered hospitality? Anybody want to pitch a suggestion to the table?
Where are we looking on
Oh, sorry,
the
we're back on the arriving tab. Sorry.
arriving tab? I see.
The shadows manifest.
Gotcha.
Where will the inciting incident occur? At the settlement of Torhaven.
Well, we've got four NPCs in the hall and only one in the village, so I think probably in the hall, but
In the hall. Any objections? Okay. So we cut to you having arrived in the village. You are in the great hall, receiving some hospitality. Other people, our main characters are there. Everybody eats in the hall at the Lord's table. So our cowardly herder is there. Everybody's there. But let's get some flavor then. Then the fates ask them to agree what form the inciting incident takes. Now, Paul pitched in the Great Hall. Does somebody else want to pitch whether what we see is a heated conversation between NPCs, something supernatural occurring, someone or something making a surprise or unexpected entrance or arrival, or something even more flavorful or interesting happens? So, Casey, Matt, Daniel, do you want to throw something on the table and see who's interested in it?
I think an unexpected entrance could be interesting.
Okay. Matt, Casey, what do you feel about that?
Yeah, that sounds good. That's always, like you say, that's always a good way to kick things off.
Yeah. Then the doors burst open. Yeah. Okay. The fates will ask who or what arrives and what they do before anyone can act. So let me start with you, Matt. Who or what bursts into the hall?
My immediate thought was to look to everyone's the setting page to the mentors and family, but I'll leave those. Who or what? Did those tables disappear?
Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. I hid them because I wasn't certain we'd need them. But no, they are still there if you want them.
Nice. And
We're looking to build on those themes we've got already. So, as signs and portents, we have stuff like crows driving off falcons, sinister murmurations, spider webs, captured hidden girls, and the slow death of a village is what we're looking to build out from.
was that slow death a plague? I missed that part.
We don't know. We don't know. It was Althea's memory of this village does not look thriving, and stop me if I got this wrong, Casey, but she's remembering the slow death of a village before she left it, of her
Yeah,
village.
undetermined, I guess. But if you want to riff, Matt, that's cool. I'm fine figuring out what happened. I was
So yeah,
thinking,
you want to play? Go for it.
that's not my first instinct. I was even thinking that the plagues Plagues can happen, but I was thinking either a priest of Woden or a survivor from the village, or both.
Go with the priest of Woden.
Let's see what shape that takes.
Okay, so the doors of the hall burst open, and a priest of Woden. Casey, what do they do? Say, tell me something about them before anyone else can act.
Feel like they might just yeah, I have these crows stuck in my head, so I just feel like they come in and just like throw a couple of dead birds on the ground that have been like eviscerated.
Oh, eviscerated crows. Okay. If it seems like a good time for a start of session move or an arrival move, by all means, feel you can trigger it. If it's not triggered during the scene that we are about to kind of kick off, it will be triggered immediately afterwards. So, he comes through and throws these birds on the ground. And shouts across the hall, "You see, my lord? I'm gonna go to Althea first because, it's slightly uncomfortable seeing those crows driving off a falcon when, you have your hawk. What's your reaction? What do you do? What do you think?" Over to you.
Yeah, I think like almost as like a reflexive like sort of like flinch, I think Althea kind of like reassuredly like reaches for their hawk a little bit, right? Like, yeah, okay. and sort of actually no, sorry. This is what we were talking about like playing outside of your comfort zone a little bit. So I think Althea is going to be a little bit more bold than I tend to be with my characters, and sort of like takes a step forward or several steps after checking, and like takes a few steps forward to like look at these birds and sort of see what's
Okay,
happening.
let's engage with a mechanic.
Cool.
The link to the dice room is on the links tab. There is a move called Look About You. Now, did we settle on which move your hawk benefited?
We did not, but that is the one I would like to choose.
Fine. So Look About You is the one that is going to apply. So when you want to learn about someone or something or any risks, opportunities, or possibilities in the current scene, roll plus sense, or ask a patron for inspiration and roll plus favor, but then owe them a debt. You are going to roll with advantage on this if you can explain to me how the bird helps and how you communicate with it. We've not really dipped into the special effects budget yet. So, is this a some kind of psychic link? Do we see through the hawk's eyes? Do what, what do you what do you want this to look like on screen?
Maybe it's like sort of just like a non-verbal communication, I guess, right? But like not words, right? But maybe just like a sound or like a clicking or or something, right?
Fine, fine.
I think the hawk will like fly down or like just sort of like hop down to like peck around inside the remains or like look at it, check it out.
Fine. Let's have you roll with advantage there. So you're rolling 3d6, take the top two and add sense. The way this works, you can type 3d6 return into that top quick roll line if you're not familiar with the roller.
Yeah, so it looks like two sixes and plus cents is a zero, so that'll be a 12.
So that's 10 plus, gee whiz. Okay, 7 plus. You pick. Fates will re reveal a threat's weakness. Well, I don't think it's a threat present. So the fates will tell you something relevant that becomes a truth in the fiction, or may ask you to suggest something that interests you as a truth. Have you got something that interests you as a truth here? Or you want to pass it back to me?
I nothing comes to mind right away, so I can pass it back to you. I mean, I was just thinking like some sort of like reading the entrails thing, right? To see sort of ill omen or portent in the way that these birds have fallen now or something, but I'm
Okay.
fine with anything.
No, that works. Because in my mind, what I've got is that when the bird kind of flutters down, it veers away, calling in distress. And you conclude from that that these birds have been poisoned. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next, I wonder? Now, Dawn, interacting with mortals is always a little bit risky. Are you inclined to step up here, or do you want to lurk for a little while?
Think I'm gonna just observe a little bit to see what others are
I'll come back round to you.
until the Okay.
Winifred, our Celtic mystic. What are you thinking at this point?
Now, I'm especially curious.
You are.
In fact, I'm burdened with it.
You
And I have a move called the Other World.
do.
And you remind us of a time your burden complicated your life and owe your gods a debt. So do I need to owe my gods a debt to trigger this move?
You don't. You will have to owe it at the end.
You owe it at the
Yeah.
end. Gotcha. Gotcha.
In fact,
Gotcha.
that needs to be phrased in that way.
Yeah. So Winifred steps up next to Althea and says, "Well, I suppose I come from Crow Clan, so I should be the one to have a look at this." It's like a gulp. Like, that does not bode well. And I think the time a burden complicated your life was when I was helping as a assistant to a healer at the shrine, and someone came in with what seemed like a poisoning, but also their eyes had gone fully black, and you could see the stars twinkling inside of them, and they would whisper in a language they didn't understand, that sort of thing. And I was a little overeager in that case, and got close to the person, got involved, maybe even connected with them in a deeper way, and that certainly complicated my life. We'll find out how at some point, but I'm supposed to describe the spirits that reveal themselves. So maybe
You
I've just
are.
described that spirit.
Okay.
Maybe
Yeah.
that person didn't stay long on this mortal coil, but now somehow I'm tethered to them or unconnected to them.
And what does this look like in the fiction then? Or, well, what do we see on screen? Is this a shadowy figure with these dark eyes glinting with stars, or what? Or do your eyes go black?
I think that's closer to the truth. I think maybe when Dawn looks at me, Dawn can see more of a seeming of that person, or maybe can see me like my spirit sort of reach, step into the un other world for a moment, or like overlaid is another version of myself who has done more of the journeying.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Roll with advantage. 3d6, take the top two, add sense. Oh no, sorry, add favor, because you have to roll with favor on this one, don't you? Which is also two at this point.
So it's not advantage, it's or it is advantage, so 3d6, and I'm adding my favor.
Yes.
Got it. Oh, that's a hefty roll. That's a 4 and a 3 plus 2. So a 9.
A 9. Oh, you're god of debt. The old god's a debt, so favor will drop by one for next time. Now there is a you could improve that to a 10 if you wanted to. Just saying, because there's a help yourself move.
I see.
Or do you want to settle for the 7 to 9?
So I'm looking about myself and I'm using favor to do it. On a 10 plus, you gain advantage on a subsequent action. And either way, I owe the debt.
Yes.
Well, I will just stick with the set. Well, out of, I guess we're learning the game here. Why don't you t tell me about or point me to
Okay.
help yourself move?
Okay. So on the common moves, there's a move called Seek Your Patron's Help. When you are dissatisfied with the outcome of a role, other than when it involves your gift, say how your calling or mortal seeming is relevant to your action. Now, you're a pagan mystic communicating with spirit, so it's absolutely in your wheelhouse. Ask your patron for help and owe them a debt. Then you can re-roll one or two dice.
So that'll be a second debt
That would be a second debt, yes.
for my first move of the game.
Yeah. No compulsion.
Not to get like too nitty-gritty, but Matt, didn't you take the move, like the start of session move that gives you like a dice bang?
I did, and I wasn't thinking I'd need to use those so soon, but that might be really relevant. So I guess we're using the stack here. I'm going to respond to my other world move, and it was a good shout, Paul, earlier. Maybe we should have rolled the dream move, and maybe I can replace my one with something better.
Fair enough.
Should I dream a dream?
Dream a dream. Roll 2D, because you've been dreaming dreams a lot.
I certainly have, and so has our sword of God, which is very interesting to me. We're sharing some dreams here. Okay, I'm gonna roll those d6. That's a 5 and a 6.
Ooh, so write those down somewhere.
Okay, I shall. Now, can you replace a single die, or is it both for both?
No, you can do anything you like with that.
Oh, that's delightful. I'm going to take that 5 and swap it in for the 1, making my roll an 11.
There you go. So make a note somewhere that you still have a 6 to play with this session. And so on a 10 plus, you will have advantage going forward on this. But what are you interested in knowing? What are you interested in the spirits? What are you asking of the spirits here? Or you can just throw it back to me and I'll tell you something I think is relevant or interesting.
Well, mostly I'll throw it back to you, but I think we've got the sense that in the mundane sense, these crows are poisoned. And I guess I want to know what sort of mystical connotation that has, if it's just a simple poison or if it's connected to something greater and more powerful. And I think, well, you say what you want to say. I'll quickly describe the dream and then we'll m move past all these dice.
Fine. I think that what this shows you is that they are poisoned, but they are corrupted. So they're somehow spiritually poisoned.
Okay. I think that the dream that we flash to is a shot of crows, thousands, hundreds of thousands. They blot out the sky and they're moving in those murmurations. But the pattern resembles a great hand. And we see the hand stretching its fingers, flexing, and then the hand sort of transitions into a scene of my husband who I lost, and what set me on this path, and the hand wraps around his neck and begins to choke the life out of him. And then I wake up.
Fine. Black Saren.
I'm gonna go over to Lady Gehilda. Fellow sister, why are you cast from the Lord's table? I am a Christian. You may have heard of this new religion. And one of the big tenets of Christianity is you can confess and God will absolve you. So tell me, sister, why have you been cast from the Lord's table and you sit here at the side of the hall in the shadows?
I think that this is, you're trying to convince her to share something
I am.
personal with you, aren't you? Are you invoking your zealous belief?
Well, I've definitely told her that I am indeed a Christian and that she can confess.
It was quite a soft approach, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you don't want to go in too hard straight away.
Yeah, zealous, I think, needs a little bit more welly.
Okay.
If you
Well,
want to go
I'll still
zealous.
roll with Sol.
So you don't want to go heavy on her at this point. You're going to settle for,
No, I'll start soft.
okay, roll plus subtle.
Six.
Six. She slaps you, pushes you away, and screams in your face, Christian! At which point our dangerous champion turns in your direction, Seren. Step away from my lady, she says.
Have you not? Are you not duty bound, to honor new arrivals within your settlement? And when did people's religion matter?
You
Do you
may
not
know.
welcome all?
She looks to the Lord, who's looking a little slightly bemused, it must be said. And he does nothing. And she says, you are here because of the laws of hospitality. If I have to stomach your presence, you will sit quietly and leave my lady alone.
I will sit at the main table then.
And you go back to your seat. Attention is torn between our dangerous champion who's threatened Seren and our thoughtful heir who is walking across the hall to where the three of you and the priest of Woden who came in are standing round the dead crows. What do you do, Winifred, when the thoughtful heir appears at your shoulder?
I think that I'm still consumed by this dream, and I think that for a moment, I think that it's my husband, Bran, whose hand is on my shoulder. And I think I come out of my reverie. Say his name, gasp, and then recover, try to gather my dignity, and say, we've got a problem.
As you faint, he catches you, and that's where we'll take our next break. Back at our seats at 10 past the hour.
Yes.
Okay, and we're back from that commercial break. I want to ask Dawn, who's been, watching as this has been going on. I'm curious, what has been the reaction of our cowardly herder as you've been observing the hall? Tar, the cowardly herder.
The herder, okay. I think he being cowardly is maybe itching towards the exit in a way that he thinks that will not be noticed, but it was noticed.
It was indeed. Do you want to do anything about that, or are you just content to notice it?
I think I will. I want to deal with him later maybe and walk up to the Lord Gundhir.
Yeah.
Because I just walk up to him and I want to talk to him because I was interested in why he's not scared of the situation. He seemed.
He seems a bit bewildered, I think is fair to say. He's looking he was looking down the hall to where the priest of Woden burst in and what was happening there, and then there was this fracas over there next to his wife, this visitor and his champion. So he I think bewildered is it's fair to say. Do you want to approach him and ask some questions, or do
Yes.
you want to?
Yes, I want to approach him and ask him, are you scared, my lord?
And he gestures behind him where there is a tall pole with a crossbar from which hang the wings of crows. And he says, I am the son of my father. We are frightened of nothing.
Well, how long have you been not afraid of the things that have been happening here?
I think you're looking to convince him here, aren't you, to open up.
Yes, I think so too.
So convince them. Normally, it would use subtle, or you could roll with favor and then owe your fey crown a debt if you tell me how they gild your tongue. Unless you've got another move that does something better, different.
No, I'm just wondering if I would if that triggers my seeming human move if I
We'll
don't
do
do
that at
that.
the
That will
end of
do
the
it later.
interaction.
Okay. I'll just use the standard way this with subtle.
Fine. Roll plus subtle, 2d6.
2d6. Okay. That's 6. And plus one is seven.
Ooh, close. So on a
Yep.
7 to 9, he will tell you. He will tell you that he would prefer not, and he becomes slightly conspiratorial. I appreciate your interest, I would like, I would talk about it, but I think that perhaps, my son should join us.
Sure, why not? If he knows something that you don't or has more information.
He is my closest advisor, and I feel that he and we've not got a name for our priest of Woden yet, have we? So let me just roll 2d6 and come up with a name for him. Guild or 2-5. All. Sealbert, our priest of Woden.
Well, let them join us. We are here to stay and until we find out what is happening here.
And now I think it is seeming human time.
Yeah.
Because I think it
Okay.
matters now whether how he is going to take that from you. So, seeming human, 2d6 plus favor.
Favor, and my favor is 2, so that's a 7 plus 2 is 9.
Okay. On 7 to 9, any mortals you encounter during the session are inexplicably suspicious of you, so you make social rolls with disadvantage. But I am curious, what glimpse of your true form do we get that hints at this kind of something odd about you?
I think to them, I don't know if it's enough, but I really seem like I'm not really interested in what I'm asking. It's like I have a face without emotion, even though I am
Okay.
asking questions about emotions.
Is that your seeming? So your seeming is glitchy, or is it that underneath that seeming, there's something about your true face?
Well, that's a tough question. It could be something about my true face. I
Because I'm
think
just
it's
wondering whether your true form is made out of something that doesn't move the way our faces do, for
yeah,
instance.
could be something like that. Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to pick a material? A
A
more
material.
rigid material than flesh?
More rigid. Maybe bark.
Okay, I've just put bark in true form, just as a reminder of that.
Okay.
Just a sense that your face is, you try to look friendly and to convince him, but there's something that doesn't quite work around the way your face delivers that emotion. Okay, fine. So yes, he, yeah, yes, when everyone has gone. And that I think, is when Winifred, you wake in the arms of the heir, who you went a bit unsteady. Maybe you didn't quite faint, but he just grasped, supported you. Are you recovered? What can I be of assistance? He says.
What I've got, there's no recovering from. But I'm fine. I'm fine for now. But.
He looks slightly uncomfortable because he's clearly thinking some communicable condition. And he will hand you off to Althea, who's also there. And back away, gesturing to Colbert the priest, bring those. And Colbert picks up the crows and takes them.
Winifred just says, very, very prudent, very prudent.
And then a woman screams. Saren, what do you do when you hear a woman scream?
Where's the screen coming from?
Just in the hall, over there, the other side of the fire pit.
I will rush over and cast my eyes upon what is happening.
An older woman is cradling a younger woman. And the woman, younger woman appears to have collapsed.
I will look upon her body and see what's wrong with her.
She just fainted. She collapsed.
I will be the judge of that. And I will kneel down over the girl. What seems to be wrong with her?
She her eyes are open, but she's just collapsed. Like not.
Let's search her body for bite marks.
Bite marks. Okay. This sounds like look about you.
Indeed, it does.
Yeah. Okay. You are a woman, so I think it's not crossing any taboos here. So roll to look about you. Roll plus sense, unless you have something better
I
or.
rolled a 2 and a 4, give me 6, and I have +1.
On her ankle, there is indeed a bite. Two penetrating wounds, half an inch apart, maybe. But she, she's just limp.
And I will shout up to everybody around the table. She's been bitten by a spider.
What's the reaction of Dawn and or Winifred to the cry, spider bite? Dawn?
Well, I slowly walk out and approach the victim.
So
Spider, you
very,
say?
very, very relaxed, in other words.
Yes, yes,
Winifred,
yes.
are you equally relaxed or do you act in a more protective manner, either of yourself or anyone else?
This is a bad one. Three, two vermin. Let's hope we don't hear from a third. And I walk over with Dawn.
And yeah, there is Saren kneeling over. Sorry, I thought I wasn't certain you were still there. What does Althea do at the shout of she's been bitten by a spider?
Yeah, I think I probably just like follow Winifred like at a bit of a distance, like call my hawk back and then sort of follow along, like keeping an eye on her and like, yeah, let's see what's happening over here now that there's some commotion or whatever, right? Like
Well,
a lot of things
exactly.
going
That
on. Mm-hmm.
is going to trigger something of a commotion. Some people clamber onto the benches. Some people begin to look around them, looking down at the ground, bumping into one another, knocking things over. Saren, what do you do with the body, the young woman? She's her mother's on her knees on the ground with the girl in her arms.
Yeah, I take it mechanically, reference that move I've gone for, tell something relevant that becomes a truth in the fiction. She
Yes,
has indeed been bitten by a
she
spider.
has.
Well, I could lay my hands upon her, couldn't I? I could put her on the thing. Yeah, why not? Let's go for that while
Lift
I'm
her up onto
actually.
the table, clear away some platters and cups and lay her on the table, and then
I
paint
will
spot.
Payne's balm.
Okay, now there. Just again to keep everyone up to speed on the rules, we're now going to go to gifts, the gifts tab, because there's invoke your gift is a move on there. When you call on a patron to empower your gift, agree with the fates what success will look like and roll plus favor. So agree with me what success will look like, Saren.
She will wake.
Wake, fine. Roll plus favor.
Ten.
10, 7 plus. They empower your gift and you succeed, but then owe them a debt. On 7 to 9, blah. On 10 plus, you pick. Your gift has greater impact, scope, scale, or duration. Pick one. Than even you had hoped. Or you gain advantage, or they, if you'd use this against someone, were disadvantaged. Or your patron refuses your debt, erase it, and also erases an existing debt. Or offers you some tangible benefit if you owe none.
I think people are awed by what I've done, and I have advantage going forwards.
Fine, fine. And what is it? Is it, low
It
key
is
lay on of hands?
classic lay on hands.
Okay. And the girl's eyes flutter and she comes back to consciousness. And mother, who are you?
You are fine, my child. The Lord Christ has healed you.
Ooh, went the crowd. You don't want the village to owe you a debt. As your tangible benefit.
Yes, I think so. Yes,
Yeah.
the village.
There's
Yes.
a place down the bottom of the character sheet where you can record Torhaven and a debt, and which maybe Christ will want later. And she says, I had a most peculiar dream.
Tell us of your dream.
It was dark. It was dark, and there were spider webs, and I was chained. And there were two other sets of chains.
And I'll turn to my friends and say, this is a good sign. This is a sign from God himself.
I wouldn't call
My
it good.
visions. My visions have not become true yet. What I saw is still yet to happen.
That's good. That's good.
Is she dead?
The girl.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah,
No.
was she dead?
Oh, I see. Was she dead? No, she wasn't dead. She wasn't dead.
No,
He's.
I'm not asking
Oh,
if I
sorry.
see her. So Dawn is asking Black Saren, if the girl was dead before you revived her.
No, she was poisoned. Must be some kind
Oh.
of paralysis.
Interesting. Where did the spider come from?
I might have a
Well,
look.
there is a degree of chaos around the room as people are kind of looking and stamping on the ground when they think they see something moving.
They're not looking in the right place. I don't want to grab up too much spotlight, and I want to hear from Althea, but I also want to find the way a lead somewhere for Althea to us to lead us. And this woman has just had a dream.
She has.
And I am so curious. I might be interested in performing a miracle.
Might you now?
I might. I'm cu I also I see that I'm able to erase a debt when I assert my free will and give into a temptation, so your patron sees they are not always your principal focus.
Yes. So you can, as well as your burden, you can stock up on a temptation.
Oh, so I would also mark a temptation as well as my burden.
Indeed, you would.
Oh gosh. Let's go longing.
Okay, long to make a connection. So erase a debt, take longing. And it too will have an impact on some of your moves.
I'm
They might
lonely.
even cancel out.
Okay.
Where's the focus of your longing at this moment?
I think my longing is now. My longing is to, I think, be able to like s save people after having lost the people that are most important to me. I think I'm a lonely woman who's left a life behind. And I think there's no one who shares my particular gifts around. And I think tending to people gave me this feeling of intimacy and care that felt like a real connection. And like that spirit that I'm tethered to, that was this kind of connection that I have never have rarely felt with others before.
Okay.
And what I'd like to do is go into this dream that this woman had, and see if I can find any more clues as to how to get to this place.
Okay. So you'll find down the bottom there's a range of things you can do. So you'll be invoking your gift, and then you will be telling me what success would look like in the terms of the effect that you can achieve with your gift. So I'm thinking another place at the same time.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Okay. Let's have you roll to invoke your gift. So you want to experience the dream or be there with her?
Let's say be there with her. That feels like a connection.
Okay. So let's have you roll plus favor, because favor will be back up to two, because you just scratched a debt, I think, didn't you?
I think I did.
Go for it.
Let's go. That's a 10 plus 2.
If only more than 10 was worth something. So they empower your gift, and we see you in this cobwebbed cavern space. Bit unclear exactly what it is. There she is, chained, unconscious. There are two other sets of manacles hanging from the ceiling over there and over there.
First thing I do, even though I know it's a dream, I go to her, I put a hand on her face and say, "We will be back for you, I promise."
Now, on a 10 plus, your gift has greater impact, scope, scale, or duration. So you could do something while you're there. You know, mechanically something. Just.
Cool. I think I would like to just do that to show the priorities of my character, making
Yeah.
the connection here, the healer. But then I think I'd like to just look about me so I can find a clue or a way, a place, a way to know where this is.
Okay. Let's have you roll plus sense
Okay.
before you're snapped back into the real world.
That is a 9.
Okay. On a nine, then I can tell you that there are carvings here that you recognize as Roman. And then you're back in the room.
Perfect.
And I'm inclined to say that we're nearing a logical break between what we do next, unless somebody has something very specific they'd like to do before we finish. Because I think that's a good break narratively, and then we'll pick up from that point. What I am going to do is a lot has happened there. I think that the way this game works is that you can gain insights into the darkness. Have any of you played Brindlewood Bay or The Between? Okay, so these are games where the GM offers you clues, if you will, as you go along. This is subtly different in as much as you get to phrase an insight. I think probably that Winifred gets to phrase an insight. So again, if I show you the tour, if you go to the Torhaven tab, there's a table on there called Insights, and I'm going to write Winifred down. And an insight is something that you are going to use to build the story of what the darkness is, so you can confront it, right? So, well, actually, I think probably it's you and I think possibly Seren who are going to have a chance to do something here, because Seren has dealt with a woman, you've stepped into the dream. So let me start with Seren, because Paul, you've done this before. So on the basis of this scene, Would you like to phrase an insight?
I'm going to say poison threatens the village. Not I don't want to go with a creature's poison, just poison in
Poison.
general, because we've had a few signs of poisoning. So yeah.
In its various kinds. So the idea is to come up with a set of insights which you can string together into a logical explanation of what's going on here. Yeah. So the reason, just to explicate what Paul's just said, he doesn't want to be too specific. You want a clue, but not too specific a clue, because too specific a clue will paint you into a corner when you come to use them later. So you're looking something that thematically interests you, that you think could build towards a solution, but without saying, and it's exactly that. So usually it's a phrase rather than a long sentence. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I know the Roman ruin is overgrown. I could say something like "heart of the will," "heart of the wilderness," "heart of the wilds," or might it be something more related to? Is just anything thematic that relates to what I've discovered?
Yes, exactly. Anything you think that you could have picked out of that that would be useful going forward. It's as open and vague as that.
Yeah, I think I could smell the earth and just feel the wildness in that dream. So, heart of the wilderness.
Heart of the wilderness. Fine. Oh, except I can't spell anything. I can spell quite well, I just can't type. Okay, I'm going to stop us there because I think that's a good place for us to build on next time. I do want to do a quick end of session. Now, what I haven't been checking in on is whether any of you have been ticking those attribute boxes as you've been rolling with them. So
It's a
let's.
successful role, isn't it?
No, any role. If you try to roll with it, you're on a winner. So I know that our Celtic mystic rolled with sense to look about you and favor to invoke their gift. I know that our sort of god tried to convince the lady to talk to her to him and to her and used favor to invoke their gift. Daniel, you kind of floated about a bit. You subtle to convince, I think.
Yes, I rolled a subtle. Yeah, I
Was
just
there
rolled it.
anything else?
I think that was the only one, the only roll. Yeah.
And I know, Casey, that you used the hawk to look about you to examine those crows, so you tick sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know if there was anything else though.
No, I think that was it.
Okay. So, aid memoir for me next time. I must remind you to tick those boxes. But let's do end of session then. Let me go from left to right. Did you step into the unknown first, Althea? I think you were first up to examine those crows.
Yeah, that feels, yeah. Yep,
Yeah.
I would say yes
So
to that.
I think that's worth an XP. Did you address a challenge with cunning? I don't think so.
That no, I don't think so. I don't think I addressed the
Okay.
challenge at all.
Yeah.
But
Well,
yeah.
there's time. There's time.
Oh yeah. I'm not concerned.
Matt,
I got
our
you.
Celtic mystic, Winfred. Did we see the influence of your burden? Yes, I think we did. That driven to be interested in stuff. And did you address a challenge mystically? Yes, you did. 2 XP, I think. Our sword of God, did you resist the attraction of overzealous violence? I think I'm going to give you one for that because you deliberately didn't go, oh, zealous, when you tried to convince her.
Okay, fair one.
You
Yeah, no, I do
step
see
back
that.
from that. So I think that's fair. Did you address the challenge with self-sacrifice?
No.
No, I don't think
No,
so.
I didn't leap in,
I put yourself in danger to protect someone else or whatever else. The Fae, did we see the influence of your selfishness?
No, I don't think so. No,
No.
not yet. No.
Did you address a challenge with betrayal of trust? What a sneaky person you are. You want to betray a trust, I think. But
Yes, I'm building on it,
you're
but I haven't
building.
done it yet.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you're building.
that's what I
So
wanted to do.
we must remember as a wish to maybe have that an opportunity to betray a trust or establish a trust you can betray at least. Yeah. Okay, I'd like a quick start and wishes if that's all right. So Paul, any stars, any wishes?
No, probably a bit too early on, just more of the same, going really well. We've got some good lines and veils and interests, so yeah, more of that.
Okay. Daniel, any stars, any wishes?
Well, stars I mean, a lot. There is the everyone the whole procedure of generating characters and all the characters are very very well done and distinct and it's very nice and it was very exciting to build the settlement and all the mechanics are really great. I really love them and enjoy them.
Any wishes for next time? Set up a trust.
Yeah, set up a trust. I wish my wish would be to explore more the intricacies of the non-player characters, the side characters, their relationship, because I want to my I've set up my characters wanting to find out something about the darkness from them,
Yeah, yeah.
as opposed to from just like looking for the source of the darkness. But
Yeah.
that's it. It's really minor. I had a great time. So,
No, fine. We can aim for that. Casey, any stars, any wishes?
yeah, I agree. I thought the setup was all super cool. The settlement building and the questions, that was all awesome. Specifically though, I'd let when Paul went to wake the girl and you were like, right, wake. I was like, I see how that's gonna go, right? Like without tying it to a specific thing, it was like, oh, perfect. The perfect. Yeah. She'll wake. Like I was just waiting for a failure, so it would be like some weird undead dreaming thing. But success is always fun too. Yeah, just having a
As
bunch of
if
fun. So
I
yeah,
would,
thanks.
as if I would. Any wishes for next time? Do anything you want to see Althea doing or anybody else doing for that matter?
No, like more of the same. Yeah, maybe just like just I always like learning new games or whatever. It's just to see where they go and what they do exactly. Maybe try to get working a gift to find our way to this place. That might be cool, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, man. I'm always about following the fiction, and I don't really care about rolling dice, so we'll
No,
figure it
you go for a gift. We need to find our hunter something to hunt. And last but not least, Matt, any stars, any wishes?
Yeah, stars for leading us right through that setup, Alan. I think that was a really fun process, and we got lots of cool bits and bobs to play with. Games looking very cool to me. I love gifts. Star Daniel for how you were grilling the Lord. I liked that, or how you were sort of pushing his buttons. I love how bombastic Saren has been and declarative and bold and I want to see more. My wish is to see much more of Althea and get to know Althea better, because Althea took a little bit of a backseat in the hall. Maybe the quieter ranger type isn't always the first one out of the gates, but I know you're looking. And I think if Winifred was to say anything after she came out of that dream, it was, well, Althea, we've got a trip ahead of us.
Places to go, people to see.
That's it. Thanks, everyone.
Stars for me. Thanks for engaging with the setting in a really constructive way. Really interesting signs and portents, and interesting stuff for me to play with. So thank you for that. I will just check in. Is it okay for me to publish the recording? Thank you very much. Then I will stop that recording now.